Hey, Clint Betts here. It would mean the world if you asked your friends and family to subscribe to the Why Though podcast. You can do this by sharing your recommendation on social media and tagging us at Why Though HQ. We're Why Though HQ on all social media. WHYTHOHQ on all social media. And it'd be unbelievable if you found our show on Apple Podcasts and gave us a 5-star rating and review. There's no greater way to support our show than by doing those two things. In fact, if you do both, send Chris a screenshot to chris@thebeehive.com, and we'll send you an amazing Why Though t-shirt. Thank you for your support and for being a part of the Why Though community. And by the way, we live stream on all of our social media accounts, Why Though HQ everywhere, every day at 3 p.m. Eastern. And now, let's podcast. A lot of meat. I can't hear anything. I actually can't hear anything. I'm not even joking this time.
I can hear you. I can hear everything.
Oh, my thing was up! I had to plug my thing in! You are looking A-Live on a Tuesday. Boy, is it Tuesday. Boy, are you alive? I'm fine. My name's Clint Betts. I'm doing great.
My name's Chris Rall, and I'm fine. Yeah.
I'm doing great.
We're starting off today a lot better than we did yesterday.
So I was about to text Ashley, who runs Why Though Employee of the Month. I was like, holy shit, you'll never believe what Weston screwed up. I couldn't hear my voice. Yeah. I couldn't hear the music. Yeah. I couldn't hear anything. Turns out it was me.
Yeah.
It's been unplugged for the last 2 days. You've been giving me shit about this. And I literally, like, just look at you. And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. It's not muted.
So yesterday you showed up as a Halloween zombie, essentially.
Yeah.
And your headphones were still unplugged yesterday, but you just didn't even care to the point where you're just like, you didn't know if you were talking, if your voice could be heard, if mine was, you couldn't tell what I was saying. Today, at least you cared enough to be like, at the intro, oh, I can't hear. Oh, this Weston screwed up. You're not going to be Employee of the Month. Then you look down. Oh, I just need to plug in the headphones. So at least you cared today.
Way to come through, Weston.
Way to come through today.
I honestly think so. I don't normally do this because I, as you know, I'm not in the running for Why Those Employee
yeah,
of the Month.
Because
I'm the guy who hands it. I'm the hander.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood why
I'm
you weren't
the
in the
guy.
Running.
Yeah. And I'm also like, why would I ever get it?
Yeah.
I dick up all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to track that. So I'm out of the running always.
You spill everywhere in this office.
Okay, that's another thing. I've been spilling a lot lately.
No, you haven't been. Well, you have, but not any more than you normally spill.
It's been wild.
There's a certain amount of spills. So once you become the friend that you know that they spill, like we have a different friend who always spills food upon themselves. So I just expect during the course of eating, they'll have 3 stains on their shirt that weren't there before. And that's normal. I don't even bat an eye. I just go, they're living their life. If they had 10 stains on their shirt that day, I'd go, what the hell's going on with you? You've overspilled. You, there's a certain amount of spills that are built into every day. You're sitting there, where's my water? Oh, no. Oh, where's my little Pellegrino? Oh, no, kicked it down. So, but once you exceed like 5 spills, it's a problem.
I read somewhere once that a messy person is a genius.
I read somewhere that that's untrue. It was the immediate follow-up to that sentence.
I just made that up.
Which was written by you, the original sentence. And then it was on factcheck.com, and they're like, no, I don't even understand how messiness would correlate with genius. That makes no sense.
So, as I was saying, like, I normally don't weigh in. I let Ashley do her job. I've never lobbied.
Yeah.
On Employee of the Month. I never have.
Yeah. Me neither.
And Kelly has won the past 2 months.
Well, I've won the last 2 months.
Well, hang on. We're going to talk about Kelly for quite a bit here
okay.
in a second. Kelly's a big part of the show.
Yeah.
I want to say that, and I need to say that legally. I need to say that. So
this statement was drafted by our lawyer, FYI. Yeah. This is a statement. A lot of you think this is coming from the heart. This is right off the page.
So, Kelly has won, and she has graciously given it to you the past 2 months.
Yeah.
That's how it's worked. Yeah. Let's just be honest about
how it's
worked.
A technicality.
It is a technicality. You have been Employee of the Month the past 2 months, but Ashley did not award you with that.
It's
been more of a handle.
When somebody wins a bronze medal in the 100-meter dash, and then the 2 people in front of them dope, And they go, you know what? You're actually the gold medal winner despite the fact you didn't come in first race. Does anybody remember that? No. You know why? Because you got a gold medal on the wall at home. And everybody comes in your house and they go, you won a gold medal? You go, you're damn right I did. It's the exact same concept, okay? Oh, hand me, some people have criticized me. Hand me down an award. You didn't win the award. Where's the award? It's sitting on my wall at home.
Yeah, that's true. So this month, given that it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a time for charity. Do you think that?
No. No, I don't.
So when I think of December, I think charity. Damn.
I think
if I'm not talking about the org 501c3s. Okay?
I love it's Christmas time and you're just like, it's the time for the 501c3 nonprofits. This is the month, man.
I'm just talking about charity, like what that actually means, the organization.
I don't say this as a joke. It would not shock me if Christmas conjures up 501c3s in your mind. I'm not joking. In the same way that
they're different than 501c6s. 501c3s can't lobby. 501c6s can lobby. It's kind of interesting. You gotta disclose your donors as a C6. C3, you don't have to disclose your donors.
That's you on Christmas Day with your family. Everybody wakes up. They're going to get presents out, have a nice breakfast. And you're just there with an 82-slide PowerPoint presentation on the differences between a 501c3 and all the other variations of a nonprofit.
Now, a lot of you are probably thinking, why not just do a C6?
What's
you
can the lobby. C for? Let's start there.
I've got 10 slides on what the C means. Now, what the number 6 means, that's a whole different slide. Okay. Why is 3 plus 3? What does that mean? 6. Okay, so we go from 501c3 to 501c6.
You know what? I'll excuse you a little bit because you do get in the Christmas spirit.
I do.
Its own warped version of Christmas, but you get into it.
I'm in.
And people can't get on your case about that. You
if
know?
Anyone gets on my case, screw them.
You're a passionate man. Okay. When 501c3s enter into your mind, they got to come out somehow.
I do what I want. I've said that for years.
No, you don't. You do the exact opposite of that.
So my point is, I think Weston, who has not screwed up, but I have given him shit the past few years.
No, Weston screwed up in a wide variety of ways.
I'm like, Weston, I can't hear myself think.
Because I am in the spirit of Christmas, and I want to show charity to my inferiors, I haven't been talking about how many times Weston has screwed up this month. Okay? In a normal month, where I don't care about charity, which is how that works. You know, you care about charity in December, fine, whatever. Punt one of the months away to somebody else. Blech. Yeah. The other 11 months, that's mine.
That's your time.
But in December, I go, Weston, I'm not going to call you out. You've beefed on yourself time and again. It's fine. You haven't, you doing this with the knobs and doing the, oh, you forgot. Oh, no. Oh, I forgot to publish it. Oh, wait, no. And so I haven't done that because I'm charitable, because I care about Christmas.
So I'm just saying for Ashley, you know, keep an eye out on old Weston.
That was the speech?
Keep an eye out on him. I think he's in the running.
That was the worst lobbying for me ever done on my behalf.
She's like, God damn it.
You can tell he's a 501c3 because he cannot lobby. That's what that entire thing showed us.
That's as most as I could do. If I was a C6, sure, I could come out stronger.
Legally speaking, he wanted to support Weston's candidacy more. He cannot do that in the eyes of the law.
Now let's go to the woman who has actually won Employee of the Month the past two times and graciously, charitably, given it to you.
It's been forfeited, but yeah.
Yeah. Kelly. Kelly Jensen, she's Why Those Country Music Correspondent, the head country music correspondent. There's a whole team underneath her, but we don't talk about the team.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She whips their asses into shape every day.
She's leading.
Wakes them up in the morning. What do you got for me?
I go, have you heard of Brad Paisley?
Of course I've heard of Brad Paisley. Next.
So she leads a team. She's the head of Why Those Country
they
Music.
They stay together in a room. It's crazy. She comes in the morning, wakes them up. They're all in bunks. Get up and at them.
4 a.m. Go run 6 miles right now. Start thinking about what country music songs you like.
Start thinking about what country music song lyrics are going to be discussed once per week on Why Though. A whole team's under her.
She's got a whole team, okay?
But she's a leader.
But she leads the team. And so yesterday I came in here and I was out of my mind. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been doing drugs.
Yeah, I know. No, I know.
I've been on drugs.
Look, when you put down a crack pipe before you enter into the studio and then walk into the studio with me, I saw you with the crack pipe. Yeah. And then when I'm trying to talk to you and you're just kind of eyes glazed over doing this, I kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah. So I've been doing crack.
Yeah, it's fun.
Awesome drug.
Yeah.
First of all, can't recommend
Hey, great rush.
Can't the come down, which we all experienced yesterday on the podcast, little rough.
Your sin was you didn't time the drug use correctly. In a normal setting, we get the energy crack boosted Clint. where you're just like, oh, zipping around. Okay, great. Yeah. You timed it a little too early. Mm-hmm. You cracked up for a phone call, you know, with like one of your friends. You're zipping around. Then you came in and just went down to zero.
I'm thinking about doing cocaine.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit easier of a drug than crack.
Cocaine is the best drug to do for podcasts, is my understanding. It helps your mind fire quickly. You speak faster than you normally speak, which for you, slow man Magoo,
I might do cocaine.
You should do cocaine.
I'm thinking about it.
I think it suits you.
I'm seriously thinking about it.
No, I do think it suits you. I'm not joking. Yeah.
It's a 501c3 drug.
No, I know it is.
Like, if you're running a 501c3, you're probably doing cocaine.
Everybody I know that's involved with 501c3s, they do cocaine. Mm-hmm. Except us.
So yesterday I'm bombed out of my mind, right? I'm on the come down from a hardcore crack session.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a night out with the crack pipe.
And Mondays are, this is another reason why I can never be employee of the month.
Because you do crack constantly at work. We don't need to give another reason.
So Mondays are normally country music Mondays.
Yeah.
Okay. I spaced it. Kelly, as always, old reliable.
Old reliable.
Old reliable. She sends me well in advance the song. She's like, here it is well in advance. I know you're going to dick this up somehow, but the team and I have been working on it for a week.
Around the clock.
The team and I, we've really been putting in the hours to give you this song. And so I spaced it yesterday. I spaced everything. You asked me a question. I just give you one word answer. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, right? And so I spaced, obviously, the Country Music Monday.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to move Country Music Monday to Country Music Tuesday this week.
You know what's the great thing about life? If you make a mistake, mm-hmm. you can do differently the next day. Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of people, they go, you can't do something that's for a Monday on a Tuesday. Yes, mm-hmm. you can. You can do anything you want. Mm-hmm. So when we have Country Music Monday on a Tuesday, we don't care. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Anybody can do what they want.
So something I'll say to Ashley before we go to the country music song.
That I should be employee of the month, obviously, because I'm the one who always is the best employee.
Keep an eye out on Kelly.
It's like,
that's the biggest endorsement I can get as a 501c3.
Look,
keep an eye out on
I'm trying to keep a charitable spirit, but it's like LeBron on the Cavs, mm-hmm. like the early Cavs. That's how I feel currently, mm-hmm. you know? It's just, there's no one else that's up for this award except for me. You're Mo Williams.
I'm Mo Williams.
Weston's Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
I'm Ilgauskas, actually.
Kelly's Mike Brown, the coach. And I'm LeBron here. I got the whole team on my back. I'm trying to carry him around town. I'm mm-hmm. the only one who doesn't do drugs that's associated with this podcast.
Well,
not to out Weston and his habits.
Yeah, Weston does do drugs. I do. So I do heavy drugs.
Look, this is a drug-friendly podcast. I'm feeling the Christmas spirit. I'm charitable. Yeah. This is a drug-friendly podcast. If you want to do drugs, you should do them.
Well, I don't want to do them.
Well, you should do them because it.
At this point, I have to.
It closes.
What I have is what a lot of folks call addiction.
Well, you should do them because it closes off the part of your personality that we really don't want to interact with.
I'm actually a huge asshole.
Which is your
abusive.
No, it's just your personality. We just don't want to interact with it. When you get into the zombie state, that's good for out of the podcast studio.
What if I was an abuser? What if I came in here and just like punched you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
It wouldn't go well because
that's what I do if I didn't do drugs.
I'm not a person who sticks up for myself, so if you punch me, I'd just be like, ow. And then you're like, what are you going to do about it? I'm all, nothing? Just, are you going to punch me again? Should I like hide or what's going on here?
I'm thinking about being an abuser.
Yeah.
Too. I don't know.
I'll be your first victim. Sure, why not? Look, again, I'm feeling charitable. If you want to try something new out, I'm willing to take a punch.
We'll have
or two.
To go to couples therapy.
Yeah, I could take a punch, you know?
He hits me every day.
Yeah.
He deserves it, ma'am. That's what I'd say.
He's not even the employee of the month, and there's only three employees.
All right, so here's the country music song, the Old Reliable, a.k.a. Kelly Jensen.
This one goes out to Old Reliable.
This one's the Old Reliable. Old Reliable sent this in yesterday on perfect time, and now we're doing it a day late, and that's my bad.
Yeah.
Well, really, that's Crack's bad.
Well, we don't have the nickname.
Listen, I have Crack.
Yeah.
On my person right now.
We call you semi-reliable.
I'm not.
Actually, we just call you unreliable. That's your name.
A semi? That'd be cool.
I'm semi.
Yeah, you're a semi. You're a semi.
I'm the middle ground.
Listen, I have ED. I know everything about it.
Yeah.
There's no semis here. All right, so, gosh, limp freaking microphone. You see that? Whose fault's that?
I don't know.
Look at this limp microphone.
I don't know how you have this many technical difficulties. I've never had that happen in my entire life. I've been doing this podcast the exact same amount of time as you. Some would say more based on yesterday's performance. I've never once
you have
in my
one show more than
all that is like he just needs to tighten
I
it.
I know, that's what I said 2 years
he
ago.
He has such weak wrists.
Literally 2 years ago when we started. It starts drooping down. He goes, how does your microphone always stay up? I go, there's these two things that are very clearly cinches that you just tighten and it keeps the microphone in place. That's what allows it to be
I can't
changed.
Go super tight. Otherwise it hurts.
You do it as hard as you can. And then as soon as you touch it, it just falls back down.
All right. So
do you want me to tighten it for you before you do the segment?
Listen. I'll get some crack after the show, and then I'll use my superhuman strength to tighten it. Today's song is by a fella who I love, okay? Chris LeDoux. Chris LeDoux is one of the greatest country... And I'm not... This is not me. Oh, I'm going to be sarcastic for a second. No.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling charitable. It's December. Chris LeDoux is one of the greatest country musicians of all time.
How old is he?
He's dead.
From what era? Oh, he's dead. Okay.
Yeah, he's straight up dead.
He's got a good smile. He looks like a friendly man.
He's hot as hell. You know, a lot of people, when I walk down the street, they'll be like, are you Chris LeDoux? Well, you're just saying that because I'm hot as hell, too. Okay?
And they go, no, we're saying it because he had a good smile. And you are smiling a lot because of the crack you just smoked. That's what it reminds me of.
So Chris LeDoux, an amazing country musician.
Why? Why is he so amazing?
Just listen to an album, one or two albums tonight.
No,
and
I'm not going to do that. You have to tell me. I don't think you've ever even listened to him.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
Who is he?
That's exactly my point.
Who is this character?
He's a great musician. Look, it's fine if you just go home and look at Google images of Chris LeDoux. I'm not judging here. Again, it's a charitable.
Never even heard
it's a charitable episode.
Yeah.
You were looking for other images of somebody named Chris. And then you're like, who's this LeDoux guy? You know? You were looking for something of me to make fun of.
I Google image you every day. What is on there this day?
Chris Rall. Chris LeDoux pops up as a sidebar. Like, that's a little bit better than Chris Rall.
So he wrote a song, put out a song, performed a song. I'm not sure if he wrote it. It's called This Cowboy's Hat.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Real quick, before you even say anything, cowboy hats are a little bit strange.
Okay.
And I know this will be an unpopular opinion.
I don't like keeping the sun away from my entire head. I only like keeping the sun away from the front of my head. Cowboy hats, you're protecting your neck. You're protecting your sides. You're protecting your front.
It's not that I'm against the full brim. And in fact, I like a full brim, depending on what it is. You know a nice safari hat? One of those?
You do like
Or like a nice
brim.
Bucket hat? Yeah. You'll see golfers, they'll wear these big
bucket
hats. Those
are cool. It's cool that those are bad.
You know, just wandering around like old Gilligan on Gilligan's Island used to wear.
I love that.
That's cool in golf now. The cowboy hat, it's a little bit weird for me because I can't tell if it's the worker's hat, which at that point it needs to be a little bit like dingier and cost less, or if it's like, hey, this is my nicest hat, and I wear it when I go out on the town. It seems like it wants to be the best of both worlds, but you can't be both of those things. You can't be the best hat that you go out on the town with and also the hat you work in. It defeats the purpose.
Well, I'm glad you set it up because maybe Chris will help us solve this little riddle.
Chris, let's stick together.
Okay, so it starts with an intro. This isn't the first verse. This is an intro.
This is him speaking?
This is an intro. I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
I'm literally reading the lyrics. It says intro. Okay. This is an intro.
All right, continue.
Okay, here it goes. Well, there's always been groups of people who could never see eye to eye.
I like this so far, yeah, sure. He's setting the stage for like a worldly trouble.
And I always thought if they'd get the chance to sit down and talk face to face, they might realize they got a lot in common.
Okay, yeah. I like the sentiments Chris is expressing.
That's the intro.
Look, Chris is stick together.
I imagine he said that because that doesn't rhyme.
No, yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine he just said
I love
like
that
I
they
did.
Could only sing.
Similar.
I love country music stars can only sing rhymes.
It needs to rhyme.
Yeah, it's true.
It needs to rhyme. Okay, now we're into the first verse, you pea brain.
Okay.
There's an intro and then there's a verse. Now we're in the first verse. Here it goes. I assume he's singing this.
Usually the intros are like, yeah. Hey, okay, ready?
Back
it up.
Turn it up.
Turn it up. Okay. So this guy's intro, it's infinitely better in comparison to every other intro that I've heard in a country music song. He just goes, you know what? A lot of people got problems with one another. Maybe if they sat down and talked, they wouldn't have as many problems. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a great intro. Mm-hmm. Good so far, Chris.
Yeah,
maybe you weren't lying about him being a good country music artist.
Well, I wasn't. Okay, verse one. Well, I was sitting in a coffee shop just having a cup to pass the time, swapping rodeo stories with this old cowboy friend of mine. He was a rodeo guy. He's not just making that shit up.
How do you know this? What are you talking about?
Okay, I know everything. I've read every Chris Ledoux biography that's come out.
That is true.
As soon as it comes out, I'm all, give me it! Give me it! I need to absorb all the information about this
guy. I hate that you're splitting time between Winston Churchill biographies and Chris Ledoux.
I actually started a new Winston movie last night. Okay,
I know.
Well, I was sitting in a coffee shop just having a cup to pass the time, swapping rodeo stories with this old cowboy friend of mine, when some motorcycle riders started snickering in the back, started poking fun at my friend's hat.
Okay, so now we've set the stage. The big bad motorbikers, the rodeo coffee cowboys. It sounds like they both dressed up to the nines to head on out for coffee in the morning.
Hell yeah.
So they got the big hats on.
Why do you think cowboy hats are dressed up to the nines? That's the opposite of what they are. That's not cowboy what happens. No one dresses up to the nines in a cowboy hat.
Yes, they do. When they go out for their fine dance occasions, they're always wearing their best cowboy hat.
Yeah, their best cowboy hat, but most of the time you're not wearing your best.
Okay, but that's what I'm...
It's a working man's hat.
That's what I was saying about the cowboy hat. They want the best of both worlds. Okay, here's a good example. A normal hat like you have on right now, okay? You couldn't wear your working hat. Okay, it's a normal Utah Jazz hat I wear around when I work, and it's all sweaty and gross, and there's dirt on it. And then you go, oh, what? But I'm going to... Well, this doesn't apply to you, but somebody else. You would have to actually work at some point. Then you have to go to a formal event. Mm-hmm. You couldn't show up with a different jazz hat with a bill and go, oh, this is my nice hat. This is what works for this occasion. Only cowboy hats can pretend like they're both of those things. That's
so what,
my point.
What you're mad about is that it's multidimensional.
Yes.
You only want
I
one
want
hat,
a hat to want. Stay in its lane. I just want it clearly defined what the occasion is for.
All right, so these motorcycles. So think of me as the cowboy in this story, right? Just
who am I, the motorbiker?
You're the motorbiker. You're dressed up in all leather.
I'm the guy who rides in the sidecar. They're like evil henchmen. Ha ha!
Okay, now they approach him, right? Started poking fun at my friend's hat. One old boy said, hey, Tex, where'd you park your horse?
Oh, good zinger. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm part of the motorbike crowd.
My friend just pulled his hat down low, but they couldn't be ignored.
What?
One husky fella, that's you.
Okay, wait, hold on. That's way... Okay, that's rude. We'll get back to that. What's way cool about a cowboy hat, I will give it props for this. When somebody says something to you and you have a huge cowboy brim and you just go and lower it so you can't see their face, that's cool, okay? I wholeheartedly agree with that technique. I don't like the husky boy.
Yeah, that's you.
I don't like that I'm the husky boy in the sidecar.
One husky fella said, I think I'll rip that hat right off your head.
Ah, that does sound like me. Just some portly guy trying to ruin some guy's coffee. I'm going to rip that hat right off your head. He's like, this cowboy hat? Are you really that mad that it like can be formal and informal?
That's you.
Why are you so husky?
That's when my friend turned around and this is what he said. You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, pin its ears down flat long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Wait, he wants to rope a cow and milk it?
No, that's his point. It's like you would have to do all of these things, and you'd still want to get this hat.
Okay.
So do you think cowboys are...
It doesn't sound like he wants the hat. He just wants to take it off his head. He doesn't want him to have the hat. Those are two different things.
What I'm hearing from you is you think motorcyclists are stronger than cowboys. And let me tell you, you're dead wrong.
Well, look, is the husky boy in the story? I can assure you, I don't want the hat. I just don't want it on him. Okay, so I'm going to take... If I can, I'm going to take the hat off the cowboy's head... And then put it by the side and go, show some respect for the women in the room. Do I really got to explain this to a cowboy? Okay.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of old school manners. When a bike gang comes into a coffee shop, they take off their caps and honor the opposite sex. That's
helmet.
How I was raised. Okay.
Your helmet.
I take off my helmet. I take off my goggles. I go in the bathroom and I wash the dirt from my face that came from riding across
Why
those highways.
Why do you always have dirt everywhere?
Because when you drive across the highway all the time
you
with goggles
know.
On,
you don't know.
It
You've
flips
never
up in your
moment.
Face.
Like, you
I'm
know.
In the sidecar.
Oh, yeah, when you're down low.
Yeah, when you're down low, it kicks it all up on you. It sucks because then I got to put the goggles on because I read to the person who's driving, you know? I'm like the audiobook. I'm all, okay, where were we in this Churchill biography? Okay, so we're at Winston's a teenager now, if you don't remember.
Grew up pretty wealthy. Interesting.
Do you? I don't mean this as a joke. It would be pretty cool to be in a bike gang as the side guy, because the side guy just reads. But he gets all the cool exposure to driving around the country. Oh, man, look, this is beautiful. We're driving through Montana. Look, oh, Yellowstone, this is great. Mm. And then when it's just boring stuff, you know, you're in Nebraska and you look at a bunch of cornfields, you just go, no worries, I'm just going to read for a while. It's great, dude. That's a great life.
This is so weird how you think motorcycle gangs work.
This is what motorcycle gangs do, right?
All right, it continues. This is verse 2. Now, partner, this old hat's better left alone. See, it used to be my daddy's, but last year he passed on.
Okay.
My nephew skinned the Rattler that makes up its old hat band, but back in 69, he died in Vietnam.
Okay, so it's got sentimental value. So, see, this is what he should have led with. You know, when I come up as the Husky boy and I say, I'm not a big fan of cowboy hats, if he immediately just goes, instead of pulling it low, being antisocial, he just goes, sir, you're not as husky as I first thought. Now that you're up close, I can see there's clearly definition of a lot of your muscles. You're looking pretty good. It seems like you've been working out. Also, this cowboy hat was my dead dad's. He died in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. This rattlesnake band right here?
No.
Okay.
What the hell?
It doesn't matter. It's just somebody who died.
What the hell? The nephew. It's the nephews who died in Vietnam. The dad died just last year.
Wait, whose nephew died?
Holy shit. The guy's nephew.
His nephew died in Vietnam.
Yeah, in 69.
And whose dad died? The nephew's dad?
No, his dad.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
So he had a hard year, it sounds like.
Let's...
Is this a black cowboy hat? Is this like coming from the funeral?
No. Now, the eagle feather was given to me by an Indian friend of mine, but someone ran him down somewhere around that Arizona line. And a real special lady gave me this hat pin, but I don't know if I'll ever see her again.
Yeah, there's way too much stuff going on in this hat.
Oh, you hate... Oh, too many things.
No, there's 50
things. I want a plain Jane hat. It should be one color. No decorations, please.
Cowboy hats are kind of like dreads, right? Like
what do you mean by that?
They put all these cool little beads on them, like in the
dreads. Is that true?
I don't know.
No.
It sounds like it.
I thought... See, this is what's confused me about it. I thought cowboys were the opposite of that. I thought cowboy hat was, no. There's nothing that goes into it because the lure is the cowboy hat. Once you start putting things on, little pins, like, oh, I'm some tourist and I got a pin at the four corners and I put it in my hat. Then you look like a doofus. Then it defeats the purpose of having the cowboy hat. The cowboy hat is like, I'm a simple man and I do my job and I drink coffee black.
Your view of cowboy hat.
That's what a cowboy hat says.
Nuts, actually. Like, they're actually crazy.
This guy, he's got the tourist hat.
No, he didn't go to the four corners and look, put a pin on it.
Look, if you want to get a four corners, if you want to get a four corners pin, I'm not going to fault you. I just don't think it has a place on a cowboy hat.
A real
I think you put on like
lady.
A sash. You put it on a sash. You wear the sash around. Your tourist sash.
This is all the place I've been. There's two pins. Yellowstone, four corners.
For me, it's just Utah centric pins. I'm all. I went to Moab. Look at my sash. That's the arch.
All right, now we go back to the chorus. You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old norther and milk it till it's dry, bulldog the Mississippi, pin its ears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Yeah, you can't take a cowboy's hat.
Imagine saying that. Someone's like, give me your damn hat, and you like stand up and you said that line.
That's cool. That's cool. It's cool. It's good. If he just shot that out of, or like, came from off the hip, that's an incredible thing.
Badass.
It's a lot weirder if he's like planned for this occasion and he goes, I got this sick rhyme that I've been saying to myself and I'm just waiting for the right time to use it. And then the biker gang, me and my bike gang, comes in, you know, just tuckered out after a quick jaunt to the four corners and back. and then we come in and we're trying to bully this guy and he's like, oh, I finally get to say it. And then he says it to us and we're like, have you been practicing that? You've practiced that line in the mirror, haven't you, you dweeb? What's that on your hat? You got a four corners pin too?
Here's my sash. All right, it continues. This is verse 3. Now, if your leather jacket means what this hat means to me, then I guess we understand each other and we'll just let it be. But if you think it's funny, man, you got my back up against the wall. And if you touch my hat, you're going to have to fight us all.
Who? Who's the all? Just his other buddy?
Yeah.
There's only two of them. Against a full-fledged biker gang led by a husky man. Mm. you're gonna have to fight us all. First of all, his buddy didn't consent to that. We don't know. Like, if we were sitting somewhere and everybody comes in to bully you and they go, we're gonna kick your ass unless you give us this hat, and you go, you're gonna ride the Mississippi in a whirlwind and then milk a cow or before you take this hat. Or you're gonna have to fight us all. And you turn around to me, I'm like, I'll milk the cow before I fight. I don't wanna fight with this guy. We're going to get our ass kicked by a bunch of bikers.
You're going to have to take both of us. You're like, what the hell?
You'll have to churn some butter and make a whipped cream before you take this guy's hat. Imagine what you would say at the coffee shop. You're at Starbucks. A biker gang rolls in and they try to flip off your Utah Jazz little sweat brim, sweat stained brim. I don't know how you keep sweating. You never do anything physical. They go, take that hat off, you idiot.
You're going to have to walk down the beach with Joe Ingles before you take this hat.
You're going to have to order a cappuccino large and a pastry before you get this hat off my head.
One of those pastries.
You're going to have to get me one of those raspberry pastries before this hat comes off. You just barred her for a pastry. You're the true Husky boy. Yes, a bike gang comes in and you convince them to get a pastry for you and you'll take off your hat, and they do it. And that's how it's amicably solved.
That's too crazy.
I feel like they could have...
You're going to have to get me one of those stuffed raspberry pastries, please.
You're just like, treat him like DoorDash.
It'll take a half quesadilla from Costa Vida to get this off my head with no beans and extra rice.
All right, then it continues.
Well, right then I caught a little sadness in that gang leader's eyes, and he turned back towards the others, and they all just kind of shuffled on outside.
Oh, he shamed them. He shamed their ass.
But when my friend turned back towards me, I noticed his old hat brim. Well, it was turned up in a big old Texas grin.
Are you saying that, or is that the lyrics?
I could never say something like that.
You were staring at me when you said it. It was intense. You stared at me the entire time you said the last line. I'm like, what?
What you don't know is he's been prepping for this.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I know this song. How many times do I have to say it?
Okay, I got distracted because you were staring at me. Reread the last line. What did he say? It was like a Texas grin?
But when my friend turned back towards me, I noticed his old hat brim. Well, it was turned up in a big old Texas grin.
Okay, so that's a Texas grin, is having the hat brim up.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been...
bigger in Texas.
I do know that. And I feel like I've been a little bit harsh on cowboy hats because I like the idea...
A little?
Well, for good reason. I do think they need to pick a lane, and then that's what they're known for. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of you can easily manipulate your brim mm-hmm. in order to convey how you're feeling emotionally, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I've heard of these offices where they'll have, like, an emoji update every day. So, like, by your name, you would have, like, a frowny face mm-hmm. today. And it's just like, oh, Clint's feeling sad. We better go and try and cheer him up. And then mine, you know, it'd be like a crying emoji or something. Like, oh, Chris, he's been sad today. The cowboy hat is that same concept, but even cooler. Because you walk by, and if I got my hat just flipped straight up. The brims, they go, ah, Chris is feeling good today. He's got a Texas grin on. The day that it's pulled low, like, oh, he's brooding. He's sad. We got to go.
Doing crack again.
How you doing, crack man? And I go, just
it's not easy. I'll tell you that much right now. It's not easy.
I don't think you can smoke crack while wearing a cowboy hat.
Oh, you can. Trust me.
Okay.
You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old northern, milk it till it's dry, bulldog the Mississippi period. Pin its ears down flat long before you take this cowboy's hat. That's it. That's the song.
So you shame the biker gang.
Enjoy yourself.
Have you ever had an instance where, maybe it's because we're not cowboys, have you ever had an instance where somebody just comes into a store and like tries to pick a fight with you?
Yeah.
Where they're like, hey, you're going to do this or we're going to have a fight.
A
and
lot.
You're like, oh, you do have a lot. Okay.
Whenever I'm
you
anywhere,
Starbucks.
They're like, you want to fight? Yeah.
I guess, well, people did used to always want to fight you when we played City League basketball, mm-hmm. but that's tied to the fact that you're just an ass.
Yeah.
And so when it's a physical competition, that comes forth. Mm-hmm. And people are like, I want to kick that guy's ass because he is an asshole. Mm-hmm. But they can't tell that when you're just sitting there at Starbucks.
They can tell.
You in a flat brim Utah Jazz hat. They're like, ugh.
Who is this asshole? Let's kick his ass.
Take that
off. You're going to have to buy me a pastry first. Like, I knew I wanted to kick his ass. I knew it. I knew it. I knew he'd say something stupid like that. As soon as I said I wanted to fight him, I knew he'd say something dumb. Now I want to fight him even more.
Everything that they thought was justified as soon as you open your mouth. If you're just like, all right, fine. They're like, oh, I misjudge him. He's just like a normal guy. Instead, you're just like groveling at their feet for a half pastry.
There's you to get this off my head. Maybe a little cream cheese cinnamon roll do the trick.
Like, you'd sell your dignity for a cream cheese cinnamon roll?
I really would. Those are so
I don't even have any dignity to sell, so if somebody thought that I did, then I would sell that for whatever they were willing to give. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're not cowboys. Yeah. You know why? Because cowboys, they'll never sell their dignity. If you go up to them and insult them in any way, they don't let it lie. They go, we're all going to have to fight if you don't take that back or if you don't get out of here. Mm-hmm. And then your boys have to have your back. That's, again, why we're not cowboys. Like, I am never going to fight on your behalf. You are never going to fight on my behalf.
I probably would. But you can beat his ass if you get me a half pastry. Go ahead and beat him up. Give me one of those pastries first.
You just selling the right to beat my ass for a pastry? You can't sell your friend on the river.
Give me one of those raspberry filled pastries and I'll let you do whatever you want to. I was like, who are these two? Who are these two?
I'm just sitting there nodding.
What have we stumbled upon as a gang? Is that this what this gang's about?
I love the thought that a gang stopped by to the local Starbucks in Spanish Fork, Utah. We're both there as soon as they walk in.
You give me one of those raspberry pastries, you can take him and do whatever you want to him. And I just sit there. Yep. He gets the pastry, I do what you want. You name it.
I gotta see you hand it to him first, though. I gotta see.
They would immediately leave. They'd be so freaked out. They've been everywhere in this entire country, and they'd be like, the weirdest place I've ever been is Spanish Fork, Utah. They have like these pastry gangs. They'll like sell one another for a pastry. You can do anything you want to them. It's crazy.
We're the buttercream gang.
We're the buttercream gang, dude.
Hey, buttercream gang here. If you give us a buttercream, we'll go do some good. We'll go maybe rake some leaves.
Is that what the buttercream gang did?
The buttercream gang was a good gang.
Oh, okay.
If you gave them a buttercream, they would go do chores.
An actual
around the neighborhood.
What's a buttercream?
Oh, I don't know, like a nice little buttercream.
So let me get this straight. The plot of that movie is that if you got this gang a buttercream.
Gang of like 12-year-old boys.
So you get these 12-year-old boys some buttercreams. And they'd come and rake your leaves?
The buttercream gang.
That's the plot of the movie?
The buttercream gang was cool.
I thought it was about, like, you finding your way back from, like, going wayward. You know, like, oh, I joined a gang and I'm coming. You're saying it's the opposite. Like, you should join a gang.
No, this gang you want to be a part of. So the neighborhood is like, I love that buttercream gang. Yeah, hey, you want a buttercream? Go ahead and take the leaves out of my gutter. They're like, holy shit. This buttercream gang, they really know what they're doing.
And they just go around. And
they serve, Chris. It's called service. It's called charity. It's not a 501c3.
Yeah.
Okay? Where you just take money.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. Back to my cowboy hat point. Mm-hmm. It applies to the charity, too. Okay? Mm. Here's what I want. I want everybody to get in a lane or get in the other lane. The one lane is I'm into charity year-round. That's my thing. I like it. Okay? Great. Go for it. The other lane is I don't ever care about charity and I never do anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of those two lanes. People like doing the halfway, where they go, "Oh, it's Christmas time. I'm going to go and get a present for my nephew who's doesn't have any money in it, and I'm going to feel great about it the rest of the year." No, that's the halfway status. Mm-hmm. You need to be in one of those two lanes. Okay, so you need to pick one. You need to either be in this buttercream gang or you need to be out.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, thank you.
And no hesitation there. I'm in the buttercream gang.
Imagine you and me as a buttercream gang. People give us buttercreams and we go and break their leads.
You do good. There's a real movie called The Buttercream Gang. This is not, I'm not making
no,
this up.
No, I know this. I know the name of the movie. I've never seen the movie.
The movie's
That's
so
why
good.
I was asking.
The movie's so good. We should hold a screening of The Buttercream Gang here at the office. Get it on the nice TV.
Get it on the nicest TV. Oh my gosh, Weston's showing me the cover and I can tell that that gang does good.
It's produced by a film company called The Stepping Stones, to give you an idea of what we're dealing with. Okay. The Buttercream Gang's so good. Oh, my God.
Why do you not think there are any modern recreations of the Buttercream Gang? Because that's all the rage now. Like, oh, let's remake another Batman, another Superman. Let's take all these old things and just make them again. The Buttercream Gang, that seems like tailor-made for a new adaptation.
I would like the Buttercream Gang now. Like, where are these boys now? Like, 50-year-olds just smoking cigarettes. Like, eating buttercreams.
Like, the buttercreams have really hit hard. Like, a little bit of a... It's a little, like, warning tale of obesity. They're like, it's harder for them to get, like, rate the leaves because of, like, they got, like, hurt backs and stuff. Like one's got a hip replaced.
I ate too many buttercreams in that gang.
Man, it's just getting harder and harder to get out of bed every morning for that buttercream. One of them, like, really, the oldest one is, like, falling on hard times. He's in an older folks home. And they have to go and do buttercream good on his behalf, you know? Like, go change his diaper and stuff. Like, like really intense things.
Hey, buddy, you eat this buttercream while we change your diaper. That's a scene.
That's not even the main scene.
Some old man eating a buttercream while his friend changes his diaper. That's a scene. That's a full scene.
That's not even the main scene. That's just a scene. Opening. That's just a scene.
That's the opening scene. No context. Shoot, what do you see when the film first opens? Rest home. Like, oh, all right, this is going to be sad because nothing happy happens inside of a rest home. You see four old men walk in, right? With a dozen buttercreams under one of their arms. They walk into
limping
a room.
Limping in. They're like limping.
Hey, Larry, how you doing today? They give Larry a buttercream. Yeah. Then he eats it while they change his diaper.
Wait, why
that's the opening scene.
Why do they give him the buttercream to change his diaper? That means that he's doing...
He eats it while they
change
his diaper.
Well, that means that he's doing them a service, you know?
Yeah. There's service all around. What? Which is really the point.
It's actually a thing that... It's a scene that makes you think once you finish the movie, because you're like, I think the moral is that everybody should always be serving each other at all times.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have a buttercream or not.
Yeah.
If you need to change your friend's diaper, you should change it. You should. I do believe that. That's the lane that I'm fully in. I'm not a halfway person. Like, oh, I only should change diapers of people who are way young or way old. No, if your friend needs their diaper changed, even if they're 30, you should change it.
Yeah.
I've been very clear about this.
While they eat a buttercream
or no.
All right. What's our poll? You got a poll. Tell us the update of the poll.
I got a poll. They're in. We talked about Christmas cards last week. We both are kind of decidedly anti-Christmas card. Mm-hmm. So I put a poll out. Are Christmas cards good or bad? Simple. Cut and dry. Mm-hmm. No gray area. Again, stay in your lanes. Mm-hmm. You got to choose one or the other. Mm-hmm. 73% of Americans believe Christmas cards are good, which means 27% believe they are bad. We're in a minority. I also was surprised by this. And I got messages from people that are like, no, I actually like Christmas cards because they're just whatever. They're just things, you know? You're making too big of a deal about, oh, you got to throw them away and clear up space and that. They're just like, nah, they're good. They're good. Mm-hmm. People enjoy making them, you know? They're like, yeah, it's fine. It's not that big of a process. They enjoy receiving them. Mm-hmm. So you and I, we're kind of like on the outside looking in here.
Well, I like receiving them. I just don't like making them.
Do you know how many Christmas cards I have received this year?
How many?
Zero. This will shock you. Zero.
That doesn't shock me. It would have been weird if you said a number other than zero.
I've received zero Christmas cards.
Yeah, I believe that.
Which is, maybe it ties into why I think they're bad.
You're sad.
I need to make, well, yeah.
You're sad.
I'm sad.
That's it. There's no other moral to the story. You were a sad person.
73% of Americans believe Christmas cards are good. 100% of Americans believe that I'm sad.
Yeah.
Including me, which is really the only one that matters. Mm-hmm. So that's it for today.
That's fascinating.
Why though? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Skiing and snowboarding are popular winter pastimes. Why, though? Okay, here's why I bring this up. You, the man who is ultimately in search of a new cycle for your life, because you're just, you know, presumably just dissatisfied at every turn with everything that happens, which is why you're so sad,
yeah,
right?
Things don't go well for
you. Yeah, things don't go well for you. You're always perpetually in search of the next big thing, you know, whether that's a business idea, whether that's a hobby, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're just always searching. So the other day, we're sitting here, you know, just kind of glubbing ideas out, eating some buttercreams, like, and you go, like, you know what? I think I kind of want to get into skiing, you know, or snowboarding. Mm-mm. No, not just snowboarding. Skiing. Okay.
Snowboarding, I know I can't do.
So we were kind of like talking about it for a little bit, and it got me thinking, just like, yeah, there are, it's interesting because skiing and snowboarding are both very popular within the state we live in, Utah. Mm-hmm. And it's also the only thing that Utah is known for outside of the state mm-hmm. that everybody doesn't thumb their nose at and make fun of us, mm-hmm. right? When we go outside of the state, oh, you're from Utah? Oh, they got sweet snowboard. Oh, it's good mm-hmm. ski lifts, all that kind of stuff. If they don't mention the snowboarding or the skiing, it's always some like squibdick stat mm-hmm. where they go, oh, don't you guys like love Jell-O or something? And you're like, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I never have known.
I love Jell-O.
It's a stigma that's attached to the state. Yeah, sure. I don't know anybody who – I don't see anybody eat Jell-O. Mm-hmm. Do you see people eat Jell-O currently?
Yeah, all the time. I love Jell-O.
Do you still eat Jell-O?
Absolutely. After every meal.
Do you do
if you're talking about after every meal, I don't eat it for dessert, but sure.
Do you do the trays of it or do you do the cutouts of it?
I'm both. Neither.
You don't care.
Doesn't matter to me. The trays are cool because you can get a big old glob, right? You cut it like a big old piece of cake and you just grab it with your hand and you just shove it in. Woo! Get that cherry flavor?
I forgot that.
That's a rush.
Yeah. It's a rush. Yeah. It is a rush. I would say that.
It really is the biggest rush when you're eating Jell-O.
Woo! I think why a lot of people like it is because it's health conscious, you know? Not a lot mm-hmm. of calories there in the Jell-O.
Yep.
So you can eat a big handful, eat two handfuls even, and you don't really touch mm-hmm. what you would get from eating the same volume of a cookie or cake.
Why do you think I'm so healthy?
Yeah, you look like you look because you eat a lot of Jell-O. I do agree with you on that point. So back to the skiing thing. Mm-hmm. You bring this up out of the blue. Uh-huh. I think I'm going to get into skiing. So first of all, I want to ask where you're at in that stage of like contemplating whether or not you should be a skier. Have you talked yourself out of this?
No, I bought a helmet.
So that's the first thing you bought?
Yeah.
Safety first before the skis themselves?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to buy skis, but the helmet's cool.
You've been doing the thing that other people will do where like you get a football and you hold it while you're watching the game on the couch. You have the ski helmet on just like, oh, I wish I was skiing right now. Just like kind of doing the back and forth on the couch.
So I bought a helmet and I bought some goggles.
Okay.
And I am going to go for sure skiing at least once.
Where? How?
Sundance, Utah.
How?
84660.
That's that's exactly what it is.
I'm going to go. I just want to try it out. So I've lived in Utah my entire life. I've never been skiing.
Do you think that Utah has one zip code? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. 84660.
I've noticed you've been saying that a lot lately, like in videos and stuff. And now I understand you think it means Utah. You don't understand that there are zip codes dedicated to small portions of Utah.
84660.
And that one doesn't represent the entire state. Where do you live at? I live in Utah, 84660. Everybody's like, oh, well, where is that? Like, Utah. 84660. What do you, I don't get it.
Can I say it any clearer? So I've lived in Utah my entire life. And I've never been skiing.
You look like somebody who's lived in Utah his entire life.
Yeah, with the Jell-O.
That's also something.
Jell-O and the pudding?
Just everything about you screams that you've lived in Utah.
And so, you know, I want to try out skiing. I feel like, you know, I'm getting up there in age. There's probably not I only have a few more years left.
You got a few years left. That is true.
And at some point, I'm going to have to check this out.
Is this a bucket list?
It's a bucket list item.
Oh, wow.
And so I want to go down. I want to see what it's like. Feel that wind in my helmet. You know, as I'm going down. Woo!
Aerodynamics.
I hope to die up on the mountain. I really do.
I hope you die on the mountain too. Yes, I agree with you.
That'd be a good one.
What else is on your bucket list would be my first question. You have a couple years left, not a lot of time, mm-hmm. and you're like, one of the things I really want to do is go skiing.
It's all winter related for me now because I'm good on the summer stuff. Summer sports, I'm great.
Okay.
It's more winter stuff. So like dog sledding. I'd love, what if you had a pack of dogs on a sled and you were just like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
And you're going fast as hell. I'd love to do that.
Okay, dog sledding sounds super cool.
Dog sled racing?
Yes. My worry is this. You go out into the wilderness and you get lost because how are you supposed to keep track of where you are? The dogs lead you astray because they're wild animals. They don't know where you want to go. You're human. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing you know, you're stuck somewhere in the mountains. All you have is the beef jerky that you have in your pockets mm-hmm. and your dogs. So then you're like, oh, we got to like set up camp for the night because we don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. You don't have any food. And there comes a point in that night where you're like, I'm going to have to kill one of these dogs and eat it. And you have to pick out which one you're going to kill. Mm-hmm. And then you have to kill it. Then you have to take what you're going to eat from the body mm-hmm. and eat it.
Yep. That's so, a bucket
okay, there's a big draw for you.
That's why do you think I'm in the game?
Yeah.
I'm in the game to kill the dog and eat it.
Okay.
That's a bucket list item.
I can respect that.
I want to get lost in the woods on a dog sled. I want to get to the point where I know I'll never get back. Okay. I want to, all right, let's set up camp. And I want to shoot a dog and eat it.
Well, you won't have a gun there. That's my point. You don't want, okay, if you're taking
a ring, its neck.
Yeah, the old ring. Get it in the old Clint Betts ringer. These carpal tunnel hands just trying to squint around
what
the.
Is?
It thinks can't you're.
Even, can't it, even tighten his microphone, but he expects to ring a dog out.
It thinks you're scratching his neck and you're actually like, when's it gonna die? It's just like nuzzling in. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, there's like a little brief. You're like ruffling my fur a little bit. What a kind dog owner. You die. I need you for dinner. Yeah, your bucket list I don't love. I like that you brought up the snow part because that's a big. I don't snow or skiboard. Never have. Mm-hmm. A big pro of it for me.
I don't think it's called skiboard, but continue.
Did I say skiboard?
You said you don't snow or skiboard.
Yeah, I don't skiboard. I didn't misspeak. Do you think that I do skiboard? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I don't skiboard.
I've seen you skiboard. I don't know why you're lying to the audience.
I've been very upfront with everybody. I don't ski and I don't skiboard. Okay? Mm-hmm. You always need something to do in the snow. Mm-hmm. I don't have something to do in the snow. That's a huge pro for snowboarding mm-hmm. or skiing. Mm-hmm.
6 months out of the year, what do you do?
Well, it's not 6 months. It's like 2 months.
Yeah,
you know?
6 months.
It's pretty much December and January is when the snow.
Oh, you forget about February. Sometimes it'll snow in May. Everyone's like, oh, can you believe it's snowing in May?
Well, yeah, but there's a difference between when snow is everywhere and it prohibits you from doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's a difference between that and it snowed in May, but it's gone in the valley in no time.
You know what I could see you doing? Snowshoeing.
Okay.
You get some snowshoes on.
Also funny that you bring this up. I have this weird perception, and I don't know if it's real or false. I look at downhill skiers and snowboarders, mm-hmm. and they strike me like golfers strike me, where I'm like, you guys seem like assholes. You're mm-hmm. rich, and you're always whizzing around. Oh, I'm so much cooler than you. You got a
That's
fancy...
What golfers do, they whiz around?
You got a... Yeah, in the golf carts. You got way expensive equipment. Mm-hmm. You're always telling people how much it costs. This 8-iron's $300. It's a PXG. You say stuff like that, and then the snowboarders and skiers... These ski poles cost $1,000.
Whoa.
And you're like, okay, dude. But the people that seem relatable and cool, cross-country skiers and mm-hmm. snowshoers, that seems like the common folk, where they're just wandering around. I've came across a snowshoer, too, in my time. You know, in my travels. I come across a snowshoer, and it's just some person. They go, hello there, comrade. I say hello. They go, join me. You know, you got some shoes here? I go, no.
Where
I don't...
were you?
Like I go, what? No, I don't even know how I got here.
Like in a Macy's parking lot? You're like, hello there, comrade. Like, why are you wearing snowshoes?
It's May. It is barely, there's like a little bit of snow on the top of the mountains. Hello, comrade. I'm all, you should like, I think there's a problem going on. But the snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, do you agree with me that it seems like it's a kinder crowd than the downhill skiers and the snowboarders? Because I know people who do those things and they're not the nicest people.
Yeah, the snowshoers and the cross-country skiers, they're like the disc golfers.
Okay, that's a good comparison. I like that.
You'd hang out with them.
Oh, we're just here to chill. Mm-hmm. We're not here to whiz, and we're not here to tell you about how much everything costs.
You want some marijuana?
Okay.
You're like, yeah.
I go,
that's what the downhill skiers, they do cocaine, for sure.
So you really are trying to lean into the downhill.
I mean, that's why, kind of bigger reason why I'm trying to get in.
A big con of skiing and snowboarding, though, the downhill variety. Mm-hmm. Which I worry about for you, and I definitely would worry about for me, mm-hmm. the injuries are just unavoidable.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of physical gifts as is.
Physical gifts?
Much less when you're trying to learn this new thing that involves you whizzing down a mountainside.
Yeah.
So I worry that, like, you know, you got all sorts of problems that can occur. You can bash into a tree. Mm-hmm. You can tangle your skis up and fall on your head. You can run into somebody else. Like, the slopes are crowded.
Yeah.
You're not some fancy rich dude who's going to go backcountry Mm-mm. skiing and have to worry about an avalanche. Mm-mm. You're the dude who's like at Sundance with 3 million other beginners, like in the kids class, and you're getting your skis tangled up with all them. You just tripping up these 12-year-olds over and over. That's what I envision. That's what worries me about it.
I'm going to do a black diamond first run.
What's a black diamond?
I don't know. Give me the black diamond.
Did you just make up a word, or is that a real word?
I think there's an actual run called the Black Diamond.
Okay, so that's the high difficulty run.
I don't think it's the highest, but it's one of them. I think Super G is the hardest.
Super G. These are cool. What are the other levels?
I don't know.
Those are the only I love that you could have learned all the levels, but you're just like, I only need to know the two toughest, because that's the only ones I'm going to request.
Give me a Black Diamond. I'm ready.
Okay. I do think you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, part of your bucket list is, you know that the end is near, and mm-hmm. you know the end will probably...
I've got a lot of years left.
You know the end will probably occur on the slopes. Mm-hmm. So at that point, just get it on. Just mm-hmm. get it over with. Mm-hmm. Head to the Black Diamond and do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's skill trail ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Terrain park.
Oh, double Black Diamond.
So a double Black Diamond is what you're going to be doing.
Give me the double.
Are you going to take a class? Or are you just going to go up there? This is what I'm worried about
for
you.
I'm going to do a class.
With who?
So at Sundance, which is the only resort I know, you can go up there.
It's 84660, in case you didn't know.
84660. It's in my zip code.
Yes.
You can go up there and you can do classes with like other children.
I love that they're other children, insinuating you indeed are one of the children.
So it's like me and a bunch of 12-year-olds, I assume. And we're like, all right, so do we bend our knees?
You're all just talking about what you have in your lunch boxes.
Can't wait to bite into that apple when this is done. My mom packed me a bologna sandwich.
That's you talking, not the kids.
They do classes for beginners.
So you're going to be whizzing around with a bunch of kids. I like this. This is cool, mm-hmm. actually. I think this is going to be good. Here's another big pro of skiing and snowboarding. And you've just already said some of the words. When you actually get into it, you learn all the cool lingo. Mm-hmm. And when you say it in front of people, you seem super cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done this in my own life with golf, mm-hmm. where like, okay, I'm going to learn all these terms. And then mm-hmm. when I'm around people like you who know a little tiny bit about mm-hmm. golf, I can just beat you in a submission because I say all the fancy words and you're like, man, he must know so much.
You ever heard of a flop shot?
I go, Clint, I hit a big flop shot. There you go. Well, there's different kinds of shots.
What?
I was up at Spanish Oaks with the beginner kids. We were taking they didn't teach us that. They just taught us the full swing.
I go, you'll learn a flop shot someday, little guy. Don't you worry. Keep eating that bologna and getting strong. That's what I say to you.
I'm excited to try the class. Imagine being a ski instructor and you see a 35-year-old man walk through.
Yeah, like a sickly man.
This could be it for me. You got a double Black Diamond?
Instructor. Just checking one of the boxes off my bucket list before I go out.
He's like, go out? What are you
like? I only got a little bit of time left to live. You got any double Black Diamonds?
You're like out of breath just talking to the instructor. You haven't even done any physical activity. That's what kind of shape that you're in. Are you worried about the too many people issue? Because I always worry about that myself, although I'd never go. But like, part of the lure of skiing or snowboarding in my mind is like, I'm out in nature and it's cool and I connect with my surroundings and then I'm buzzing around and it's cool. At a big resort, it seems like I'm just trying to avoid other people and it doesn't have that same natural lure.
I don't know. I've never done it. We'll see.
So you're going to... Okay.
I'll report back. I will have gone skiing by mid-January. So I will let people know what happens.
I love that you're putting a deadline on yourself.
I've got to do it. I've got to do it.
Will you promise that you'll take a bologna sandwich up on the slopes mm-hmm. and consume it at some
Probably.
Point?
A nice sandwich? Half sandwich?
Okay. So it looks like this why, though, isn't mm-hmm. done because we're going to have to follow up with your skiing experience once you're done. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm doing it for sure.
Would you mind journaling?
I'll journal it.
For this podcast?
Yeah, I'll journal.
Just take a little something up there. Write down some of the things you remember, you know, some of the tips.
It's cold some out here. Day one.
Day one, 9:09 a.m.
Here I am in 84660.
The kids aren't as receptive to the 501c3 stuff as I thought. I was trying to make friends by impressing them with my knowledge, and they didn't really catch. They didn't really take on like I thought it would.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll report back. Okay. When we have more information, we'll report back.
Tomorrow is our last show of the week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tomorrow's
Wednesday.
Our last show before you die on the slopes.
Well, that's possible. That's always possible.
Okay.
But tomorrow's the last show of the week, so make sure you tune in.
So would you say it's a very special episode tomorrow?
It's a huge episode.
Would you say it's a holiday episode?
We're going to pack a punch tomorrow. All right, signing off for Chris Rawl and Weston Tanner, my name is Clint Betts, and this has been another episode of the Why Though Podcast. Hello again.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It would mean the world if you asked your friends and family to subscribe to the Why Though podcast. You can do this by sharing your recommendation on social media and tagging us. We're Why Though HQ on all social media. WHYTHOHQ on all social media. And it'd be unbelievable if you found our show on Apple Podcasts and gave us a 5-star rating and review. There's no greater way to support our show than by doing those two things. In fact, if you do both, send Chris a screenshot to chris@thebeehive.com and we'll send you an amazing Why Though t-shirt. What a deal! Thank you for your support and for being a part of the Why Though community. And by the way, we live stream on all of our social media accounts every day at 3 p.m. Eastern.